Carolina Snowflake. Carolina Snowflake. Carolina Snowflake.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Jason. I'm Jason.
And we're back with another episode of the Carolina Snowflakes podcast. We are your hosts.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Jason. And this week is a very special week because by the time you're hearing this, most likely, it's probably Amanda's birthday.
Woo!
Yay! Happy birthday, Amanda.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So it's good to be older.
Yeah, she's going to be 27 years old.
That's
so
right.
That's the news for everybody out there. Amanda hitting that sweet 27.
All right.
But for your birthday, we're getting to the end of the G. Gordon Liddy saga, our first in our Republican shitbag series here for our SS feed, as I'm calling it. We left off last week with G. Gordon Liddy. He had went to prison for doing Watergate.
Yes.
He was burning himself in prison, as he's wont to do.
Right.
He gave a dead rat to a prisoner. That whole thing happened. Then he got out of prison. He thought he was being chased by the cops, and he scared the shit out of his wife.
That's right.
By driving like a maniac. He's now reached a point where he's got to do something other than work for the government because he's a felon now, so he can't really run for Congress or work for the government anymore.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true.
Mm-hmm. For the whole doing Watergate thing. It's a bummer. So
that was the real bummer.
Yeah, don't you hate it when you do Watergate and it makes you a felon?
Like, you can't do Congress now,
yeah,
mister.
So what is he to do? Of course, his new plan is to become a celebrity. He's already pretty famous for Watergate, and he thought, why not try to parlay this into a media career? So it's an interesting choice.
Capitalism.
Psycho-Nazi G. Gordon Liddy has chosen to make. The first thing he does is in 1979, he writes a really bad spy novel. It doesn't do very well, so he decides to switch over to nonfiction, which leads him to write his autobiography, which is where I got most of the stuff from before that we talked about. The fact that his autobiography does pretty well, it allows him to go on tours in colleges and like do talks about his book, because his book actually ends up being a bestseller.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Just like today with Milo Yiannopoulos and other right-wing figures go to speak at colleges, some students protested him speaking on campus and other students liked him. So there's that similar thing to today where, you know, dicey figures go speak at colleges and some students protest and other students are just like, oh yeah, we're glad to have him. Yeah, same sort of deal.
And this was over his autobiography?
Mm-hmm. It was a bestseller. It did very well. A lot of people read that crazy-ass book.
I guess because they were like, they wanted to know his...
Yeah, I mean, he did Watergate.
Right. They're like, who is this guy?
Yeah, yeah. And he never denied it. Like, he behaved in a way of, like, accepting guilt for doing Watergate. He didn't try to weasel his way out. He didn't rat on anybody.
Mm.
So people kind of respected him in a weird, begrudging way, I think is what happened. Plus, Jimmy Carter pardoned him, and they're like, people...
Oh, well, it's Jimmy. And
yeah.
Everybody likes Jimmy.
Yeah, so... A weird thing happens because Timothy Leary comes back into play now. So Timothy Leary and G. Gordon Liddy go on debate tours around the country.
Oh.
So it's Timothy Leary who's now, by this point in Leary's life, he had turned into more of a left-wing libertarian than a super lefty hippie guy. He was more one of those lefty libertarian dudes.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't clash as much with Gordon as you would expect. But the whole point was that they had both done prison time, and they were both iconoclasts, so for their side of the political aisle, they each were kind of representing a side.
So two felons went on tour to debate each other?
Yeah, and the debates were about, like, you know, drugs and hippies and war, and Gordon got to argue his right-wing side, and Timothy Leary got to argue his left-wing side.
Okay.
So, can you imagine that? That's...
No.
Yeah, bizarre, because Gordon's a Nazi, as we know.
Right.
Well, by 1982, G. Gordon was famous enough to actually show up on David Letterman, on The Tonight Show with David Letterman.
What?
Yeah. And that's where our first clips from this week start. Letterman introduces Gordon, and then asks him about his tour with Leary. Gordon actually handles himself quite well, and he even has some jokes for Letterman. Like, Gordon is ready to be on screen.
Oh.
This first clip here is Liddy's answer to Letterman asking what kind of questions Leary and Gordon get while they're out on tour. So Letterman wants to know what kind of things are people asking you when you're on tour with Timothy Leary, of all people. So that'll be our first clip right here.
When you guys are out lecturing or performing, what are the what kind of questions? What are some of the most common questions that are directed to the tour?
Well, they always ask Tim, you know, what is this latest stuff that the government hasn't caught on to? They're liable to ask me anything from questions about Watergate to, I remember one young lady got up and asked me my opinion of group sex, which took me aback a little bit, you know. I asked her how big a group she had in mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Gordon comes out with jokes.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. But you can see he's kind of media savvy. He's already, by this is 1982, he's already...
And I asked her how big of a group does she have in mind.
Yeah, he's got his kind of patter down. He's very good at this type of thing, which is shocking, but he actually is pretty good at it.
Hmm.
So Letterman gets a good read on Liddy after this, and so he decides to really let him have it. And he decides, like, all right, I want to get into the two stories people want to know about the most from his book. Those two stories would be Gordon eating a rat when he was a kid.
Yeah.
And Gordon burning the shit out of himself to impress people.
Yeah.
So Dave Letterman's going to ask G. Gordon Liddy about those two things.
So tell me about this.
And this next clip.
And I brought up the two stories about one, a rat, and the other about burning yourself. Do you want to talk about these?
I think everybody knows about them by now, but if you'd want me to, I'd be happy to. What do you want to know about?
They're such great stories. First of all, let's start with the rat.
You want to start with the rat?
Yeah. Well, okay. You start with the rat.
Well, I was afraid of a lot of things when I was a child. Just about everything, with the possible exception of my mother, and I wasn't too sure about her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things was rats. And I had learned through my reading that American Indians used to devour parts of the bodies of brave warriors and attempt to overcome their fear of other tribes and things like that. So when my sister's cat slew a rat, I cooked it and I ate the left rear haunch of it, and there went the fear of rats. That was when I was 11 years old. With respect to burning, that was because I was afraid of pain and fire, because when I was a child I picked up a hot coal. And so I did some of that to overcome the fear of fire and pain.
Hmm.
Wow.
Amanda literally bowed her head and was shaking her head with her head in her hands during that. Yeah. That was, yeah.
Well, because there's just so much psychology there. Mm-hmm. And, oh, God.
Yeah.
It's just so bad.
Yeah, very weird, right?
It's weird, and it's that's not how any of that actually works as far as getting over a fear. You're supposed to be afraid of rats.
And pain.
And fire.
Yeah.
Like, these are things that as human beings, our ancestor Neanderthals, like, you know, like, you're supposed to fear the things that either bring disease or can kill you.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be afraid of them.
But he wanted to beat that out of himself because he thought it made him a pussy.
That's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is a crazy person.
Yeah. It's about to get even crazier and weirder. So it's very interesting that you say that, because this next clip, like, after Gordon talks about being in prison and having weapons in prison to protect himself, things get really weird and kind of violent. So the next clip, things take a turn. Like, he's been handling himself up until now, but this next clip, things take a weird, violent turn.
My advice to those of you out there who are contemplating entering prison is, the minute you walk in, if someone says good morning and there's a cloud in the sky which gives you an excuse, pick up a mop wringer handle, break his head, and then they know where you're coming from, so to speak.
That's the accepted response to good morning?
It had better be.
Yeah.
That's if you want to remain a member of the male sex.
Now, you're...
Oh.
Oh.
See how that took a weird turn? The audience is kind of like...
Very uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, why did he get violent all of a sudden?
Well, and also homophobic, or what would you call that? Like,
yeah, somewhat homophobic, or just, like, at least misogynist. Yeah, like...
Just weird.
If you want to be a real man, you've got to, like, go to prison and break someone's head.
I guess.
Yeah, he's very casual and flippant about violence, but I don't think he actually did that much in his life. I think this is a lot of blustery talk.
Well, I don't know. He had that whole Steven Seagal movie moment with the...
With the Kung Fu
the
master?
Kung Fu, yeah.
That just didn't happen?
Yeah. Oh, it totally happened.
That's the thing. I think he wants you to think that he's a tough guy.
Yeah, probably. And I guess it's kind of for show, but talk about awkward. Like, yeah. that moment in particular.
Yeah, it's pretty awkward. The last clip I have from Letterman is also pretty weird and violent and ends in a very strange way. But this is the last one I'm going to play from this Letterman interview. It's only about 15 minutes long, and it's on YouTube. So if you're interested, I would suggest watching it. It's very weird. But here's the last clip I have from it.
And this afternoon, I was reading a little thing about you that said that in other times, under other circumstances, you might have, in fact, been regarded as the ultimate soldier and even a hero, which I'm guessing is probably how you would like to be remembered. But objectively, if you can be objective, how do you see you being remembered in history by this country?
Well, I don't know that I'm going to be that much remembered. I think that as distance lends proportion, the historians are going to view the Watergate incident with decreasing importance. It was really just sort of a footnote.
Mm. And so you don't see an eternal place for yourself in the grand scheme of things?
No, I think the place for me in the grand scheme of things is the same as your place and the place of everybody here, and that is we shall provide a diet for the worms.
Well... Okay.
We shall provide a diet for the worms.
First of all,
mm-hmm.
wrong.
Yeah.
To pull a Trump, wrong.
Yeah, wrong. Well, no, he was like, Watergate's not going to be that big. But it was really just a footnote, if you think about it.
It's been how long since Watergate?
Oh, like 40 years.
No, I think it's been longer. Like 50 years,
yeah.
It's still a big deal.
Yeah, it's still a big deal. I don't think he was right about that at all.
No, but so wrong.
But I guess he was right about us all inevitably ending up being worm food. I guess that's technically correct.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess if you're like really removed, it is kind of, you know, over time, historical. When you looking back in time, it would be kind of a moment rather than a huge ordeal.
I guess. I mean... It depends on how long of a time scale. I mean, in 1,000 years, I don't think Watergate will be a big deal, but it's...
Well, all of us will be forgotten, I guess, at some point. Like, even Taylor Swift.
Yeah, which is a weird sort of... Yeah, exactly.
When you're a billionaire superstar.
Yeah, on a long enough
someday,
timeline.
Someday, hundreds of years
from
now, you'll be... forgotten.
Yeah, I mean...
So, I mean, he's kind of right in that way, but also, what a weirdo.
Yeah, it's all very dark and cynical, though. It's a weird thing to bring to Letterman.
Yeah. That's, it's just a late-night, you know, comedy talk show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I find odd about it, is it's just, like, that's a weird thing to bring to Letterman. He brought a weird vibe to Letterman, but...
I would imagine he probably brought a weird vibe everywhere he went.
Yeah, I think so. I mean... He didn't bring up the Nazis at all during that whole thing, except for one time, and it wasn't really worth cutting out. But he did manage to go that entire interview only bringing up the Nazis once, which is kind of impressive.
Oh, good for him. So, practicing restraint.
Yeah. So that was 1982. By 1985, G. Gordon Liddy was on Miami Vice.
The show?
Yeah,
like
Gordon was a recurring character on Miami Vice.
Recurring?
Yes, he was on several episodes.
What was his character?
He was a criminal, drug lord, evil guy.
Oh.
And
so he was like comedian, mm-hmm. actor, Watergate doer,
mm-hmm.
felon.
Yeah.
Nazi.
Yeah. Yep. He's all these things. He has now turned himself into somewhat of an actor. He played in a few episodes, and they're pretty cheesy and weird, but, like, nothing special. It's just Miami Vice. It's as weird as Miami Vice could
be.
I did want to show you a clip from it. I don't have the audio, but I wanted to show you a clip so you can describe the sort of feel during an episode of Miami Vice.
Okay.
All right. So what would you say about this? What would you tell our audience about G. Gordon Liddy on Miami Vice?
Where to start? Well, first of all, Don Johnson was there. And he was wearing his pleated pants mm-hmm. and his blazer and driving a convertible through Miami.
Yep. Well, that's Miami Vice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then what about Gordon?
Oh, right. And he was also there. And, okay. He's actually not a bad actor.
No, he's not.
Because, you know, a lot of times when normies end up on television shows for like cameo appearances, mm-hmm. you can tell they're not trained actors because they,
yep.
they are a little offbeat. He actually wasn't.
Yeah.
And he played the bad guy character pretty well.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy that he's a good actor.
And he looked, I'm sorry, but he looks like this meshing still of like a Saddam Hussein meets Fidel Castro.
So you don't think it's just that you know he's a fascist? Like he actually looks
fashy. The part. And then in the segment that you showed me,
mm-hmm.
on the walls mm-hmm. of his little office
yes.
were photographs.
Mm-hmm.
One was of
Richard Nixon,
and the other one was of Henry Kissinger.
Yep.
And then I'm not sure who the first one was.
I'm not sure either.
It's a military looking
mm-hmm.
photo. But yeah.
It was a military photo.
So somebody, so like a set designer
mm-hmm.
put that there.
Yep.
Like on purpose.
Yep. Put him in a scene where his office has a picture
where he's in his little
Nixon
office
and Kissinger.
With Don Johnson and the other dude who's a reporter, and the reporter, and they're mad at him. And there's a picture of
yep.
Nixon in the background.
Yep, isn't that wild? When I first began telling you this tale, I couldn't have even predicted when I first started hearing this that he would have ended up on Miami Vice.
I don't know that anyone could have predicted that. That's truly bizarre.
It's truly bizarre. It's one of those weird cultural moments. And this was 1985, so I was 1 year old.
Yeah.
So it's the fact that I'm not aware.
Like, you get to keep, like, he was an actual bad guy. He was an actual bad guy, and he's in this show that, I don't know, that's fake, and that also a lot of people have very fond memories of mm-hmm. because it's Miami Vice.
Yep. Pretty crazy, right?
Wow.
Yeah. Some wild stuff. In 1987, Liddy actually got into a fight. For once in his life, he actually got into a real fight. A couple were in a pickup truck on his property when Gordon confronted them. They hit Liddy with the truck and broke a bunch of his bones and almost killed him.
Whoa.
The couple escapes, and G. Gordon goes on the news and implies that he has jail buddies who will find him and kill him.
Wow.
So that happens in 87. That takes Gordon out of the picture for a little while.
Yeah.
But by the time the early 1990s have started, right-wing radio starts to become like a huge thing. Liddy was asked to fill in for a radio host and was struggling during a broadcast, his first time filling in. And Rush Limbaugh happened to be right down the hall listening and came in and decided to come in and like help Gordon during Gordon's live broadcast.
Hmm.
And as it happened, a producer at WJFK in New York heard the broadcast and got Liddy an audition. So because Liddy sucked on air, Rush come to help him. Some other producer for a different radio station heard him and was like, this guy's pretty good. I mean, Rush came to help him. And so he gets him an audition.
Let's give him a show.
Another example of him failing and getting promoted for it.
Mm.
How many times can this happen in one man's life?
I don't know, but I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that were in his yard,
mm-hmm.
did that ever...
No, they escaped. No,
so no one ever knows who that was?
Nope. That person could still be out there.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what they were doing.
I don't know.
Were they there to
I think they were probably fucking. Like, it was like a couple, like, making out or fucking, and they parked because...
In his yard?
In his driveway. Yeah, I mean, he probably had a big house, a big yard. It was, it was a different time. I think people... I mean, some people still do, just like...
It was a different time.
Some people
you
still do.
You walk out, there's just... people banging in your driveway.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were probably younger people. He describes them as being younger. I think they were your young couple that was, you know, out frolicking about or whatever.
Frolicking.
And they found their way to a property that didn't belong to them, and they were in the car doing their necking or whatever it is they did. She may have been giving him an unenthusiastic hand job, and
what the fuck? Wow. I thought Gordon was a storyteller, but as it turns out...
Well, you put me on the spot. I don't exactly know. Either way, they ended up hitting him with the truck. Like, he comes at them with a stick and tries to, like, you know, threaten him, and they drive the truck and turn around and ram him.
Wow.
Yeah. Fucks him up.
Wow.
And then he gets heard by this producer at WJFK in New York, and he gets an audition. In 92, he was hired as a right-wing radio host for WJFK in New York City. So his show is exactly what you would expect. It was pro-militia, anti-communist, pro-violence, just right-wing shit. He was actually a proto-Alex Jones. Yeah, he was kind of like a pre-Alex.
But was he into like the conspiracy theory?
A little bit, yeah. And he will become more like Alex in a few minutes. So the story will end with him being more and more like Alex as it goes along. So there's a there's another parallel to modern times with this guy. So you know who Whoopi Goldberg is? You familiar with Whoopi Goldberg?
I am.
So Whoopi Goldberg had a show in the 90s, a talk show, a television talk show. I don't remember it, but
I don't remember that at all.
She did, and she had
What was it called?
It was called like Whoopi Talk Show or something.
Whoopi.
Yeah, something like that. I can't exactly remember, but she had G. Gordon Liddy as a guest on one of her episodes.
Oh goodness.
And they do in the interview, they talk about Watergate and sort of some other things. There's really only one interesting part that I was able to find from the interview. And it's when Whoopi asked Gordon about, like, being a villain and yet, like, being famous. And, like, what does it feel like to be known as a villain but to, like, also become sort of a household celebrity? And Gordon's response is pretty interesting. So I have a clip here of Gordon getting asked a question by Whoopi Goldberg.
How do you get from being perceived as this villainous man to a guy with a number one radio program, a guy who does occasionally debate with Tim Leary and does Penn and Teller movies. How does this must
be amazing. I just guess I'm lucky. I've had a fabulously interesting life, and every day it gets more and more interesting, and I just, you know, live right out there on the edge and love it. Of course, with respect to my acting career, I have a tremendous advantage, according to Mrs. Liddy. I always play villains, and she says, that way you don't have to act. You just go on out there and be your own sweet self, and it works.
So there you
You just get out there and you be yourself.
Yeah, I mean, he's reminds me of Roger Stone in that way, and that, like, he knows he's a villain. He's, like,
just
sort of...
Just look at him.
He just leans into the being a villain thing, and he's... I mean, I guess I've got to give him credit for being honest about it.
Like, yes, I'm a bad guy.
But he did... kind of all the way up until his entire life kind of deny his Nazi tendencies, but they do come out. Like, there's some articles that have been written about, like, his Nazi tendencies and was he really a Nazi? And my opinion is you don't have to ask that question. Like, he's definitely loves Nazi shit. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was actually, like, ideologically thinking that we needed to exterminate all Jewish people. I don't think he thought that. But I think he had some Nazi-leaning tendencies. I think he was racist. I think he was a bigot. I think he was using his anti-communist to cover up for his racism, which we see with a lot of these right-wing assholes. And I don't think he was... So it depends on, like, he was a Nazi, but on what scale? He was definitely a fascist, no matter what. So take that for what it's worth.
Right.
But I guess Whoopi seemed to enjoy his company, which I find
that's
very
a little
odd.
Strange. Yeah, that's really strange. Yeah. I didn't... No, she had a show, or I forgot she had a show, and B, she had him on her show, and C, he wanted to go on her show.
Yeah.
That's all very weird.
It's all very weird. That's the thing, though. He did say he's had a very extremely interesting life, and if he's said anything that's true, it was that. That is definitely true. His life was immensely interesting to me. Mm-hmm. He did pretty much everything you could think of except fucking be a rock star. So... After there was a thing that happened on September 11th, 2001, if you recall that day.
I remember that.
It was a pretty bad day. So after 9/11, Liddy became more of an extreme bigot, like a lot of the right-wing people did.
What do you know?
Mm-hmm. He is now like an anti-Muslim, anti-immigrant white nationalist. He's more blunt than Rush, and he's willing to even play some like Nazi-adjacent propaganda on his radio show. But... he decides that he needs to make more money because the show isn't paying all that well. So he decides to start selling supplements and selling gold.
Oh, no.
Which is exactly what Alex Jones does. Uh-huh. So this is before Alex was doing his show.
Yeah, because at this point, Alex was still doing that public access.
Well, after 9/11, Alex was doing his 9/11 coverage. He did have a show.
That's right. He really got on the radio down in Austin. Mm-hmm. It was like mid-late 90s.
Yes.
It was before that that he was doing those public access yes. PSA.
Yes, the whatever. Weird PSAs about yeah. getting a bank account.
Yeah.
Yeah. So by this point, Alex was on the radio and he was kind of doing some conspiracy stuff, but he was years away from selling gold and supplements. Liddy pioneered that. And they were all scams and bullshit just like Alex's. So there you have it. Liddy was in some movies and television shows, more and more stuff, for a long time. In fact, in 2006, he was on an episode of Celebrity Fear Factor with Joe Rogan.
Oh, no.
yeah, so tied to another right-wing shithead from our times.
Well, now, how did that show go? Was he afraid of anything?
We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a second. Okay. We will get to how he performed on the show. So Liddy's partner for this episode was the actress who played Vanessa Huxtable from The Cosby Show. So in this clip, we have Joe Rogan and G. Gordon Liddy talking. And Joe's going to gush over Liddy. He's going to lie a lot about his credentials. So pretty much everything Joe's about to say about Liddy is a lie.
Oh, good.
But that's what Joe thinks of him. And then Gordon has some jokes and, like, straight-up disses on some of the other participants. So here's a clip of G. Gordon Liddy on Celebrity Fear Factor.
Tempest, you realize who you're partnered with? He was second to J. Edgar Hoover. This guy was in the Korean War. This is the only cast member we've ever had that's in the encyclopedia.
Yes.
Didn't you used to, like, burn your hand with a candle to prove that you could endure pain?
Actually, it was a cigarette lighter. I don't know where the candle
cigarette
came
lighter?
From. Yeah.
Yeah, the candle's just an exaggeration.
Hey, the good part about him and me, we've both been in jail.
Isn't that great?
The good part about him?
I don't feel bad no more about it, you know?
I was in jail a lot longer than he was.
Yeah, how long were you in jail for?
5 years.
G. Gordon, why don't you explain to everybody, what exactly did you go to jail for?
I got 9 different felonies. Let's see, there's burglary.
All related to Watergate.
All related to Watergate, yeah. Everything related to Watergate.
Were you guilty?
Of course I was guilty.
I wasn't guilty of nothing.
I was in detention once.
Did you go to detention?
See, I used to be in the FBI, so I know his rap sheet. You know what they got him for? Impersonating a human being?
So wow. So he just dunked on somebody for no real reason that I could discern.
Wow.
Yeah, so Joe Rogan loves G. Gordon Liddy. You could tell he was excited. And the third thing may have been true, but the first two things were complete lies. He didn't fight in the Korean War. He was here. And
he wasn't second.
He was never second to J. Edgar Hoover. He barely even knew him. But he was in the FBI.
He was in the FBI, and he did do Watergate, and he did do it.
So you asked about how he did in the episode. He actually does really well at Fear Factor because of his ability to withstand pain and annoyance. So when they put bugs on him and make him sit in a tank full of gross shit, he just doesn't really care. He just sits there kind of with a smile on his face. Very weird.
It's almost like that show is made for him.
Yeah, and he ends up winning a couple of motorcycles on the episode for so well. Yeah, he doesn't win the whole thing because there's a part where he has to drive a car over a crash course and he wrecks almost immediately, which is funny because he brags about having all this training and then, I've got all this FBI training, and then he just wrecks. And Leif Erikson, of all people, the old singer guy, ends up passing him while driving and beats him. So
that guy, okay.
Yeah, so that happens on Celebrity Fear Factor in 2006.
I missed that.
Yeah, so there's another connection with the modern guy. He was hanging out with Joe Rogan. Great. All these people are the fucking same. So Liddy hated Barack Obama, as you may have guessed.
Really? I know.
Yeah, he tweeted.
What a surprise.
Yeah, he tweeted lots of racist shit about him, and he was a birther.
Oh, he found Twitter.
Mm-hmm. And he was a birther. So he even went on to Hardball, the show with Chris Matthews, and he accused Obama of being from Kenya.
Of course he did.
And here are some quotes from his radio show that are just awful. Speaking about President Obama's nominee for the Supreme Court, Judge Sonia Sotomayor, radio show host G. Gordon Liddy had this to say, quote, "Let's hope that the key conferences aren't when she's menstruating or something, or just before she's going to menstruate. That would be really bad. Lord knows what we would get then." So just
gross.
Just a fucking misogynist.
And what a weirdo.
Gross, shitty thing to say.
Okay.
And he said also that Obama doesn't like the United States, is a communist, and isn't one of us. So, what? A fucking racist, bigot, piece of shit he was. Mm. There are actually lots of clips. Media Matters for America on their website has a whole page of G. Gordon Liddy, and there's lots of clips from his show with him saying crazy, fucked up shit like that. So, if you want to do a deep dive, go to Media Matters and check out G. Gordon Liddy. He said some gross, repugnant shit.
Gross.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know where else to find clips from his radio show, and Media Matters from America actually bothered to organize them. So props to them for that one. So one of G. Gordon's sons, Raymond Liddy, was arrested on child pornography charges in 2017.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. This resulted in him being disbarred as a lawyer and everyone knowing he's a complete piece of shit. I guess Gordon predicted at least one of his kids would be a dud, and Raymond, it is.
Wow.
So one of his kids is a piece of shit.
And he was also an attorney?
Yes, of course. They had runs in the family. Mm. So finally, thank God, Liddy died in 2021 at the age of 90 years old.
I was going to say, he had to be getting up there.
Yeah, he lived to be 90 and died in 2021. So wow. He hasn't even been dead but for 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So that ends the story of G. Gordon Liddy. That ends G. Gordon Liddy's life. It's that there's tons more stuff that he did that obviously I can't go over everything because he was kind of a celebrity.
What happened to his wife?
I assume she's dead too, but I don't actually know.
Yeah.
He talked about her, but I don't know. I assume she's dead.
Did he die just from like old age? Or?
Yeah, he died from being 90 years old.
Well, I mean, you could be 90 but have something happen.
Well, he didn't get a shootout with the cops or anything like Bill Cooper, so that would have been that would have been interesting. So this ends our coverage, but there, like I said, there are tons more to things. To wrap up everything, I had a couple of questions for you after these four episodes to see, like, to gauge how you're feeling. So,
for questions for me.
Yeah, this is questions for Amanda.
Good.
So I have four questions here that just sort of I wanted to ask you about from him. So how much influence on our modern political situation do you think Liddy had?
Is this like on a scale?
Yeah, of like, do you think that his life and what he did and the way he believed about things and, you know, preached the right wing politics side of things, do you think we would be in the same place without him? Do you think, like, is he important as Rush Limbaugh, per se, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
I think so, too. Mm-hmm. I think he was a pretty influential person, I think.
I think he was super influential, and because of Watergate and people's just curiosity, mm-hmm. it really gave him a platform.
Mm-hmm.
And then he capitalized on that platform by going on TV talk shows and late night shows and then eventually getting his own show.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would say that there's some influence there.
Yeah, I think he was a pretty influential dude. Do you think he was a genuine psychopath, or do you think he was an opportunist, or both?
I would probably have to say both.
Okay.
Like, I know I said he was psycho.
Yeah.
I said he was either a psycho or a Republican.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well, I think he's both.
Yeah.
Like,
do you think he's a genuine psychopath?
Yes, I do. And yeah. I think he's also an actor.
Yeah.
Not just in the Don Johnson Miami Vice sense, mm-hmm. but like, I think he knew how to play a certain role depending on the situation that mm-hmm. he was in. And that, I think, was his psychopathy.
Yeah. For me, him being such a good actor makes me believe he's a psychopath more. I think a lot of actors are psychopaths. And I also think that his ability to be charming, even though when he's saying things that are gross and disgusting, I think clues you into some kind of level of, like, unstableness.
Yeah, because he would slip up,
mm-hmm.
and like little honest moments would come through,
mm-hmm.
and they would be offensive
and awkward
and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Those were real,
mm-hmm.
and the things that he actually thought,
mm-hmm.
but then he would quickly correct the presentation and go back to being charming and have a story that's funny and mm-hmm. ha-ha.
Yeah, he did have some kind of wit that I think he was able to use. I don't think he's stupid.
No.
I do think he's a fascist.
Right. Well, psychopaths can be very intelligent.
Mm-hmm. Do you think people like Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Alex Jones, etc., harbor as many blatant Nazi ideas in their head as Liddy?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too.
But I don't necessarily think that they have the same kind of skill set or level of psychopathy.
Yeah. Yeah.
To actually act upon or influence others in quite the same way. I mean, I know that they still do to a degree, like Alex Jones and stuff, which we've covered him a lot. But I would say Liddy is exceptional.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. You know, Liddy, it kind of admitted like being in some of his Nazi ideas in his book. He certainly was not afraid to talk about the Nazis more than a normal person would. And I think a lot of these others like Tucker and Sean and Alex, they wouldn't ever really do that. And like, what do you think that is? What's the reason why Liddy is not as afraid to like just make direct references to the SS?
Probably, time.
Yeah.
Like the fact that he was older than them and the era in which he grew up versus the era in which they grew up and the influence of media.
Yeah.
So like, I think he being older came from a time in which you could be a little more overt and get away with it.
Yeah.
I mean, we had Jim Crow laws up through the 50s or 60s. So you could be overtly piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Whereas these guys, your Tuckers and your Alexes and stuff, being about half his age, grew up with more television than radio than internet being a part of your life.
Yeah.
And being a part of censoring what you're allowed to say.
Yeah. I think that's right. I think they have more of an awareness that if I constantly bring up the SS, people are going to notice.
You know, it's like when people say, like, when people talk about their old meemaw or peepaw, and they're like, he still uses the N-word.
Ooh, yeah.
And you're like, yeah, but he's 100 years old.
Yeah, he's 100. So
like, it's a different time.
Yeah.
It's a, not to say it's excusable, but there is something to that.
Yeah, yeah. I get what you're saying. I think that plays partially into it. I think maybe if he would have lived a little bit longer, he would find that we're reaching a time where apparently saying that shit's kind of cool again. I mean, Kanye does
it. It's back. That's that Overton window. It's moving to the right.
Yeah, and now
so what you can say on TV, on radio, on the internet, wherever in media is becoming more acceptable.
Yeah.
To be a total piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think that's right. So my last question is, after all this, how are you feeling? How does all this make you feel?
How does this make you
feel?
Yeah,
how does knowing all this make you feel?
Gross.
Yeah.
I mean,
I felt like I needed to share.
Thank you.
The G. Gordon Liddy story. I feel like, I mean, I feel like the modern, the tension we're in now with Donald Trump and Joe Biden and this two old men going back and forth, I'm reminded of another old man who was crazy and a Republican. And I think that's what made me bring this up. That's why I wanted to do this series, is like,
yeah,
they're not that far from this dude. Like,
well, if nothing else, like knowing about him, it's one more piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. Yeah. One more. Why things are the way they are. Why is Tucker Carlson the way he is? Why is Sean Hannity the way he is? You know, that's a piece of it is the legacy of this man who did Watergate and ate rats. So that's what we have. If you enjoyed this episode, you're going to want to stay tuned. Next week's going to be a good one because we're going to, this ended our G. Gordon Liddy series. And next week, Amanda's going to bring something special for us.
Woo!
So we're going to do a reverse Carolina Snowflakes. And Amanda's going to be presenting me with something I don't know much about. And we're going to see how that goes. So
we'll see how it goes.
It's going to be good. It's going to be fun. I'm excited. You guys should all be excited. And by the way, happy birthday to Amanda.
Thank you.
We all love you. I love you. And thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more episodes on our website, carolinasnowflakes.com. You can hit us up on our Gmail at
carolinasnowflakes@gmail.com.
Gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Bye.